Dog Works Radio is sponsored by Alaska Dog Works. Check out their website at alaskadogworks.com. Radio Free Palmer, 89.5 KVRF, presents Mushing Radio, hosted by Robert Forto. Mushing Radio is about dog-powered sports, living in the Great White North, and mushing. Visit our website at mushingradio.com. Here is your host, Robert Forto.
I'm Alex Stein, and this is Iditarod Through the Decades from Mushing Radio. This week, the late 20-teens. 2015, like 2014, was a warm winter with relatively little snowfall. Perhaps as a result of the criticism from not shifting the 2014 restart north, the ITC announced in 2015 that the Iditarod restart would take place in Fairbanks. The restart had taken place in Fairbanks in 2003, but unlike 2003, the route was slightly different in 2015, taking the race through historic mushing villages like Hooslea. The course was scheduled to run along 600 miles of river ice, which could lead to a very fast race. And instead of a 2 p.m. restart in Willow on Sunday, following the Anchorage ceremonial start on Saturday, Sunday would be a travel day, and the restart would take place in Fairbanks Monday morning at 10 a.m. Early on in the race, Lance Mackey began running into trouble. Mackey suffers from Raynaud's syndrome, which limits circulation to his hands and feet and is exasperated by the cold. In the bitter cold on the trail, Mackey's fingers were frequently swollen and blackened, making it difficult to do common dog chores like putting booties on dogs' paws. Lance's brother Jason Mackey, who was also running his own dog team in the 2015 Iditarod, said he would sacrifice his own race to travel with Lance, making sure that his brother didn't get into trouble and that his dogs were well taken care of. In a much-watched video taken at one of the checkpoints, Lance tearfully announced that even though he loves the sport of dog sled racing, I can't do it anymore. Mackey, a fan favorite in part because of his unfiltered style and accessibility, had been on the top of the mushing world just 5 years earlier. To help with his Raynaud's, Mackey was carrying gloves and socks that were heated with batteries, and he carried solar panels on his sled to help recharge those batteries. Lance and Jason ran together for most of the race. They finished 42nd and 43rd, coming under the Burled Arch just 22 seconds apart. Jason was awarded the Musher's Choice Award, and Lance was given Sportsman of the Year. Unfortunately, Lance had two of his dogs die on the trail. Necropsy results were inconclusive, but were judged not to be related to Lance's problems due to Raynaud's. Ali Zirkle, Jeff King, Mitch Seavey, and Aaron Burmeister were in the lead in the early part of the 2015 Iditarod. Brent Sass, who'd won the Yukon Quest in February, was in fifth place when he was spotted with an iPod Touch, a device that could be used to connect to Wi-Fi at checkpoints and communicate information. Sass said he was only using the iPod to listen to music and had forgotten that it was even capable of connecting to Wi-Fi. Race Marshal Mark Nordman said there was no indication that Sass was trying to use the iPod for any communications purposes, but he had no choice but to disqualify Sass when Sass admitted he had the iPod Touch. There were rumblings that other mushers were also using similar iPod models that could connect to Wi-Fi, and some speculated that several mushers put their devices in bags at checkpoints to be shipped home so they wouldn't also be disqualified. A few years later, the ITC would change the rules to allow Iditarod mushers to carry communication devices. As he had for the past few races, Dallas Seavey hung back for the beginning of the race, choosing to unleash the monster coming up the Bering Coast. Aaron Burmeister, Mitch Seavey, and Ali Zirkle kept up the pressure, but by White Mountain, Dallas had a 4.5-hour lead over Mitch and a nearly 5-hour lead over Burmeister. That lead held, and Dallas won his third Iditarod and second race in a row. Cindy Abbott was making her third attempt to finish Iditarod, and the third time proved to be the charm for her. She finished as the Red Lantern in 13.5 days. Although most Iditarod fans expected Lance Mackey to retire, he shocked everyone when he announced that he was coming back and would race Iditarod again in 2016. Mackey, who had never felt entirely respected by Iditarod fans, was pleasantly shocked when a crowdfunding campaign to let him get dental implants to replace the teeth that had fallen out due to his lack of saliva from throat cancer was funded very quickly. Additionally, Mackey was traveling to film festivals for screenings of The Great Alone, a documentary about him directed by Greg Coase. The documentary not only covered Mackey's racing successes and challenges, but also was incredibly candid about Mackey's sometimes strained relationship with his parents, including his Iditarod champion father. Touring with the movie allowed Mackey to interact with fans outside of the immediate context of Iditarod, and I believe this allowed him to appreciate how much he meant to fans of Iditarod and dog sled racing. Brent Sass, Ali Zirkel, and Jeff King were all near the front of the pack in 2016 when a shocking event occurred. Outside the village of Nalato, a snow machiner who had been out drinking got on his snow machine while drunk. He plowed into Jeff King's dog team, killing King's dog Nash and injuring three other dogs on King's team. The snow machiner then apparently went after Ali Zirkel and her team. The man came back several times. He would later claim that he wanted to make sure that Zirkel and her dogs were okay. But instead, his repeated passes near her were terrifying, and she later reported having to fight him off with a trail marker. The man would later apologize. He said he had no memory of the events. He heard about what had happened the morning after, went out and looked at his snow machine, and realized he had been the one who had attacked King and Zirkel. This incident led to much discussion in public and private about ways to better police the Iditarod Trail during the race. Mushers speculated about how the incident might have been different if the mushers in question had been armed, or if they'd had satellite phones and were able to call for help. There was also some conversation about the problem of excessive drinking in remote villages. In late 2016, the snow machiner pleaded guilty and was sentenced to 6 months in prison and ordered to pay $36,000 in restitution. He tearfully apologized in court to King and Zirkel. Although Jeff King sometimes mentioned the incident, Zirkel has mostly refused to discuss what happened. To say that an event like this would be devastating to Jeff King and Ali Zirkel is putting it mildly. Amazingly, both King and Zirkel continued their races, Zirkel finishing in third place and King in ninth. Dallas would win his third Iditarod in a row and fourth overall, with Mitch Seavey coming in second. This race set another speed record. Dallas finished in a little more than 8 days and 11 hours. He would also pocket a record $75,000 prize, as well as his fourth new truck. Brent Sass, back after his disqualification in 2015, was running like a man who had something to prove. Unfortunately, he would later admit that he perhaps ran his dog team too hard without enough rest. As sometimes happens in these conditions, his dogs eventually just quit on him. Sass was third into White Mountain, but his dogs refused to run shortly after he left there after his mandatory 8-hour layover. Sass brought the dogs back to the checkpoint and let them rest again. He lost about 17 hours before his dogs were finally ready to run, and instead of finishing in the top 5 or even perhaps winning the race, Brent Sass wound up in 20th place. Lance Mackey, whose decision to return in 2016 was greeted with great optimism by fans, wound up scratching, and it appeared once again that his Iditarod career might be at an end. In the off-season of 2016, word started circulating about a new documentary coming out called Sled Dogs. The movie, which featured interviews with several mushers, was heavily promoted by PETA and other animal rights groups who maintained that it proved that dog sled racing is inherently evil and that all mushers mistreat their animals. The movie showed scenes of animal abuse and a kennel run by someone who mistreated dogs and presented these facts as if they were true about all dog kennels and all kennels run by mushers who compete in long-distance races like the Iditarod or the Yukon Quest. The movie played in several film festivals and then was shown on the CBC and on Stars. Director Fern Levitt said she was inspired to make the movie after learning about the culling of dogs at a BC kennel. Mushers objected to Levitt ignoring dog care standards practiced by almost all mushers, as well as dog care regulations in British Columbia, Several mushers who had cooperated in the filming of the documentary threatened to sue, saying that Levitt misled them about her purpose in making the film. The emergence of sled dogs corresponded to an increase in attacks on dog sled racing and the Iditarod by PETA and other animal rights groups in social media. These attacks had slowed considerably in the previous years, perhaps in part because dog deaths had decreased significantly, and there were several years with no dog deaths at all on the Iditarod Trail. In large part, that decrease in dog deaths can be traced to a tragedy that happened to longtime Iditarod musher and sometime Iditarod race judge, Karen Ramstead. Ramstead had a great lead dog named Snickers. In 2007, Karen Ramstead and Snickers were running the Iditarod when Snickers died unexpectedly on the trail at Grayling, despite an emergency blood transfusion and expert care from multiple experienced trail vets. Later, the cause of death was identified as a bleeding ulcer. For many years, this had been a leading killer of race dogs. Ironically, that condition is often brought about by exercise, especially the type of exercise that sled dogs, who are highly developed and conditioned athletes, perform in long-distance races like Iditarod or the Yukon Quest. And for many years, it was taken as gospel that it was inevitable that there would be several dogs who would die each year during these races. A research study had found that exercise-induced stomach diseases, such as bleeding ulcers, will often affect 50 to 70% of the dogs who enter these races, a percentage that is far higher from what was suspected. These dogs are then at highly increased risk to develop ulcers, which can be fatal. For the most part, there are no visible outward signs of stomach ulcers in sled dogs, and most vets and mushers are unaware there's a problem until the dogs start bleeding a lot or vomiting. To further complicate matters, canine ulcers often heal themselves with a few days of rest, so these ulcers are not apparent during pre-race vet checks. After the 2007 race, fans from around the world were touched by the story of Snickers and by Karen Ramstead's devotion to this very special dog. A memorial fund was set up and several thousand dollars was raised. This money was ultimately used to support research being done by a team led by Mike Davis at Oklahoma State University. A preliminary study had shown that giving dogs famotidine, sold commercially as Pepcid AC, would prevent most canine bleeding ulcers. The Snickers Memorial Fund was used to bankroll a follow-up study that tested dogs under race conditions where they could vary dosages and determine if there was a protocol that could be followed which would help prevent most of these dog deaths in the future. One finding from the additional study showed that giving Pepcid AC on an empty stomach greatly increased its effectiveness. Longtime Iditarod Chief Veterinarian Stu Nelson called these findings the most dramatic results of medical research on sled dogs in recent years, and one that yielded nearly instant results. Many mushers began a regimen of giving their dogs Pepcid AC, and the number of ulcers was reduced so drastically that there were no deaths at all of dogs competing in the 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013, or 2014 Iditarods. Although in 2013, Paige Drobny's dog Dorado died after being dropped in Unalakleet. The cause of Dorado's death was determined to be related to dog care at the checkpoint in Unalakleet during a storm and not to any factors involved in running the Iditarod. All mushers, fans, race officials, and vets agree that the goal every year is to have zero dog deaths. And while that goal is not always reached, the drastic decrease in the number of dog deaths is something that stems directly from the tragic death of Snickers and the generosity of Karen Ramstead and her fans. For the sixth year in a row, the 2017 Iditarod was won by someone named CV. This time it was Mitch. Again, as happened in 2015, the restart was moved to Fairbanks out of concern for poor trail conditions and lack of snow cover in the early part of the race. With his win, Mitch Seavey again became the oldest musher to win Iditarod at age 57. He also set a new speed record, cutting almost 8 hours from Dallas's record finish in 2016 and edging ever closer to having an Iditarod winner finish in under 8 days. After a number of good or excellent years in terms of dog deaths, There were 5 dogs who died during Iditarod 2017, although only 3 died on the trail. Another died of overheating in a plane when being returned to Anchorage, and 1 died after getting loose in Anchorage and being hit by a car. The race was extremely fast, and there was only 5 minutes between Dallas Seavey's second place finish and Nick Pettit's third place finish. Because the race had been run starting from Fairbanks the last 2 years when it was supposed to run on the southern route, the ITC announced that the 2018 and 2019 races would both be run on the southern route, weather permitting. The off-season also brought about a tremendous amount of news. Travis Beals, who had been banned from the race after domestic violence charges, had his ban lifted after he completed court-mandated treatment and education requirements. Longtime sponsor Wells Fargo pulled its support from the race, causing animal rights groups to claim this as a victory. A month later, Alaska-based bank Northrim signed on as a sponsor. Didi Genre, a well-beloved musher who had never managed to win the race, announced that the 2018 Iditarod would be her last. But the big bombshell was an announcement in October 2017 that a team had failed a drug test in Nome. The Iditarod Trail Committee refused at first to name the musher or assess any penalties against him or her. While there had never officially been a positive drug test before, there were rumors of positive tests that had been covered up. For weeks, there was massive speculation on social media about which musher's dogs had tested positive. It was later revealed that the drug in question was tramadol, an opioid used to manage moderate to severe pain. Drug tests revealed that the drug might have been administered up to 15 hours before the test. The ITC said they would not penalize the musher since they could not determine exactly when the drug had been given, whether it was given during the race, and the intent of the musher with regard to the drug. Iditarod mushers demanded to know the identity of the musher in question. A letter from Musher X to the Iditarod Finishers Club was leaked to the Anchorage Daily News. Days later, Dallas Seavey announced that he was Musher X. He posted a long video defending his dog care, denying he'd ever given his dogs tramadol, and questioning how the ITC had handled the matter. He would later call for changes in the ITC board, including the resignation of several key board members, and announced that he would not compete in Iditarod until changes were made and conflicts of interest were removed. He then hired a PR firm from out of state and promised to do his own investigation into the incident, suggesting that he was the victim of sabotage. Several mushers announced that they too would boycott Iditarod in solidarity with Dallas. In addition to that, the ITC announced that the 2018 purse would be $200,000 less than it had been in 2017. As the 2018 race approached, the Iditarod itself seemed to be under a cloud. But as always, there were a few inspirational stories. Iditarod veteran and oncologist Larry Doherty stepped in with 10 days' notice to run Jason Campo's team after Jason suffered a head injury while running the Yukon Quest. Nick Pettit had won every race he'd entered that season, and it looked like 2018 might be his year to become the Iditarod champion. Pettit, Mitch Seavey, and Jor Leifseth Olsom traded off the lead up the Yukon and onto the Bering Coast, but Olsom pulled ahead out of Shaq Tulik and could not be caught. Nick Pettit would finish second, 2 hours behind, with Mitch Seavey another 3 hours behind Nick. Following the race, several members of the ITC board resigned. The continuing feud with Dallas Seavey seemed to be taking its toll, and the Iditarod had its lowest first-day sign-up in decades. Although entries continued to trickle in, the field of contestants in 2019 was significantly lower than it had been in recent memory. The Yukon Quest put a temporary ban in place for Hugh Neff over concerns about dog care. The Iditarod decided to honor that ban and rejected Neff's application to run the 2019 Iditarod. In late 2018, the ITC issued a statement praising Dallas Seavey and finding him blameless in the drugging of his dogs. The chief drug tester resigned and announced he'd no longer work with Iditarod. The road was laid out for Dallas to return to Iditarod in 2019, and he issued a statement saying that he was happy with the way the matter had been resolved. but he recently announced that he will race again in Norway in 2019 instead of returning to Iditarod. Also recently, it was announced that Coca-Cola had pulled out as an Iditarod sponsor. This, too, was cited by PETA and animal rights groups as a victory. Going into the 2019 race, it's clear that Iditarod is in a period of flux. Between increased pressure from animal rights groups, griping from mushers, especially those supporting Dallas Seavey, concern about safety for mushers and dogs, and the effects of climate change on the trail, the future of Iditarod seems shakier than it has in a while. But despite all of these challenges, there is still great hope for Iditarod. Iditarod is still the biggest and best known race in dog sledding. It's still considered the equivalent of the Super Bowl or the World Series, and it's still something that most amateur mushers, and more than a few armchair mushers, have in their sights. Additionally, there is a new generation of mushers poised to take over and dominate the sport for the next few years. And since some of those new younger mushers are very social media savvy, one or two inspirational stories could go viral and change the fortunes of the race overnight. Also, it's been 29 years since the last woman won Iditarod. So, a victory by a female musher might be just what's needed to bring Iditarod to the next level. Here is a list of Iditarod champions for the late 20-teens. 2015, Dallas Seavey with lead dogs Reef and Hero in 8 days, 18 hours, 13 minutes, and 6 seconds. 2016, Dallas Seavey with lead dogs Reef and Tide in 8 days, 11 hours, 20 minutes, and 16 seconds. 2017, Mitch Seavey with lead dogs Pilot and Crisp in 8 days, 3 hours, 40 minutes, and 13 seconds. 2018, Yor Leafsith Olsom with lead dogs Rusarin and Olive in 9 days, 12 hours, 0 minutes, and 0 seconds. And in 2019, well, we'll find out soon. For Iditarod Through the Decades, I'm Alex Stein.
From Dog Works Radio, this is Mushing Radio. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we invite you to subscribe in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll find a link on the episode notes. You can tap or swipe on the episode cover art, and you'll see some offers from our sponsors. You can support our show by supporting them. If you like what you have heard, we would love it if you could give us a 5-star rating and tell your friends how to subscribe too. Your hosts are Alex Stein and Robert Forto. Our producer is Robert Forto, created for Dog Works Radio. Did you know that Alaska Dog Works trains service dogs for those in need throughout North America? Each and every service dog that is trained through the Lead Dog Service Dog Program and Michelle Forto and her team has an individual training plan. We train for autistic, mobility, psychiatric, and PTSD for our soldiers for service work. If you know of someone that may need a service dog, please take a moment and check out Alaska Dog Works on social media and at alaskadogworks.com.